Nonstop Rock Talk with Tyson Bryden. Welcome to Nonstop Rock Talk. I'm your host, Tyson Bryden. Today, I'm happy to welcome Lacey Violet guitarist Eddie Bain and singer Lizzie Lace. Eddie and Lacey, welcome. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Very well, thanks. Thanks for having us on the show.
Oh, thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. Now, Lacey Violet, as I just stated, is the name of the band. Is there an origin behind the name?
I was just combining a lot of the best words I could think of. I wrote huge lists of words, and Lacey Violet just really struck a chord, I guess.
Cool. Yeah, and I was kind of curious. I thought maybe as I was looking at your name and whatnot, and I was like, okay, is there a correlation between your name and the band name? But I guess it kind of wasn't. But it's cool band. Well, anyways, the logo looks great too, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. My name, Lizzie Lace, was christened kind of after we really started going with this process, you know?
Yeah, cool. So you guys hail from San Francisco, California, which has been home to some of my favorite bands, Vane, Babylon AD, and Y&T are just a few of them. Now there must be other band members in the band, because I see four members on the CD cover. Can you guys kind of elaborate on that?
Yeah. So we've got Tommy Yamasaki on the guitar there. He's playing a rhythm guitar. He is not featured on the album, but he may be in the project in the future.
Cool.
And we've got Zach, the drummer, in the picture as well.
Cool. Right on. And then you two.
Yeah.
And you play, and on the album, you played bass and sung on the album?
Yeah, totally. On the album, yeah, it was, Eddie also played some drums and just kind of mixed around. Yeah.
Do you play drums much, Eddie?
Not really, no. I just did a couple of them. But for the most part, we hired a drummer from a band called Yes Devil. His name's Ian Strand. We hired him to do the majority of the drumming on the record, and I think he did a pretty good job.
Cool. Where did you guys do the album? In San Francisco?
Yeah, I mean, here in the Bay Area.
Right on.
Partially. Well, we did two different studios. One studio was in Santa Rosa, and the other one was in Oakland. But, you know, it's all pretty local around here.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oakland's very close to San Fran. It's just, across the bay, more or less, right?
Exactly, yeah.
I've
never been out there, but it's kind of on my list of places I have to see. It's San Francisco.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Now, being from San Francisco, as I stated, those previous bands I mentioned were in the heyday of the 80s era, of course, and that's kind of what you guys, you know, what you guys are doing. What is the scene like there in San Francisco today? Are there still many venues to play? What are the crowds like? I mean, I seem to recall it was kind of crazy back in the day.
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, these days I wouldn't say there is much glam metal in the scene. We're kind of one of the only ones around these days, and we want to be one of the bands that kind of pioneered it back into the scene, you know? But yeah, as you said, back in the 80s, there was a bunch of really cool bands that came out of here, and we really dig a lot of those bands, so we kind of want to follow their footsteps.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I saw Vane for the first time at the M3 in 2019.
Oh, sick, dude.
Man, they were so good. I didn't know.
They're amazing.
It was the first time I ever saw them, like I said, and they were so good. And
oh, wow.
And it was awesome to see Davey Vane on stage still wearing those shoes.
Yeah, and he sounds great. He sounds so good.
Yeah, they were awesome. And I mean, they played most of the material they played was off the first album.
Yeah,
which I totally love. So I've been trying to find that on vinyl. Actually, I have the CD, but I want to get it on vinyl. It's so hard to get, though,
dude. Yeah, Eddie, do you have it on vinyl?
Huh?
Do you have that one on vinyl? No respect.
No, I have the one with that just has Beat the Bullet and a couple of other songs, but I don't have the actual No Respect. I do want to get it. That's a pretty badass album.
Yeah.
Cool.
Are you a big vinyl guy, Eddie?
Oh yeah, I have a lot of vinyl.
Me too.
Eddie has a good collection, yeah.
80s stuff?
Yeah, all 80s pretty much. A bunch of 80s underground glam bands.
Mine's the same. I was just listening to, I just got a couple, I have like three albums on Monday or Tuesday in the mail, and one was a band called Smash Gladys, which had a female singer, and they were kind of like really trashy, like she's got a really cool voice. She just passed away, I think, last year. Really cool band. If you haven't heard them, check them out. They're like a sleaze rock band with a girl singer.
Yeah.
Like really
sweet. I've heard the name, but I gotta check out the music. Yeah.
And I hadn't heard it. I honestly hadn't heard it in probably 25 years. I had the tape at one point, so I threw it on and I was like, oh shit, I forgot how good this was. So it's always good to discover that kind of music, like going back and discovering stuff, right?
Oh yeah.
So now, I mean, we're talking about the 80s stuff. Now, for you guys, tell me about your influences, like favorite bands, players, etc., stuff like that. I mean, your Lizzie ears might be different than Eddie's, so.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, I listen to a lot of Def Leppard and just, honestly, I love kind of every hair metal band, no matter what they bring to the table in terms of innovation or shit that makes people think this is kind of cringy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I like all of it, but lots of, like, Dokken, Def Leppard, Rat, you know? Also, I love, like, most kinds of music. It doesn't have to be glam metal, but a lot of my favorite stuff just happens to be in terms of songwriting and production, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah.
And Eddie, you?
Me, I mean, pretty similar along the same lines. I love Dokken, I love Rat, Pretty Boy Floyd, you name it. I love all that 80s stuff. I really like the underground bands. Babylon AD and Bane are some of my favorites too.
Yeah.
I love all that stuff.
Yeah, no, that's cool. You and I were just talking before we started about you had filled in with Pretty Boy Floyd and played bass on, was it just one gig?
Yeah, it was just one gig. They needed a bass player, so they called me up and I filled in for the gig. That was pretty cool.
That's so cool, man. That must have been awesome to play those songs.
Oh, yeah, I love all those songs. It was, like, super easy for me to just pick it up and learn them, you know, because I already listened to them again and again.
Yeah. So good.
It was crazy meeting Steve and all them and Big Fox from Enough's Enough.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah, that is so cool. I mean, I haven't seen them since Vic joined the band, but, I mean, I'm a huge Enough's Enough fan, so when he joined the band, I was like, oh, that's super cool, man. He's so good. I mean, I saw him play with Vince Neil. In 1993, they came up here. Yeah,
and awesome.
Yeah, I was just talking about it, and I was talking about it on my show last week. But I'm gonna say it again. Like he was playing, and it was like a crazy. It was a Canada Day event. It was this big event, an outdoor festival. They opened for Van Halen, and there was a couple other bands before them. And people were throwing stuff on stage, like, you know, like water bottles and shit. And he's playing, and like. The water bottle would come at him and he would hit it with his stick and never miss a beat.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he'd just be like this, right? He'd just like throw his hand up in the air and it'd be gone.
Oh, man.
He was just...
So cool.
Yeah, well, it was very cool because, you know, like I never got to see him in Enough's Enough. And just, I was like, wow, this guy's like a ball of energy. He was just awesome.
Yeah, I've never really seen him perform outside of Pretty Boy Floyd either, so that's why I'm like, the first time I get to hear him play, I'm playing with him. I'm like, wow, that's such a, you know, such a trip.
Yeah, and he's a very solid drummer, too. I mean, from that gig, that's what I took away from it, how good he was, and I didn't realize how great he was, so.
Oh, yeah, he's still really good.
Yeah, that's cool. So, let's kind of talk about... some of the tracks in the album. Now, Lizzie, when I listen to your vocals, I hear many kind of different styles. Like you, I mean, you can really change it. And listening to the first song from the album, I can kind of characterize it as somewhere between Lizzie Borden on the high vocal and Lizzie Gray of London type of vibe in the lower register, which kind of sounds funny because it's two other Lizzies, right? But honestly, that's, like I said, that's kind of just what I heard on the first track. Your vocal range was very wide. For you guys, does it make the songwriting easier being that dynamic vocally?
You know, that's interesting you said that because that's kind of what Eddie said about my vocals, who it kind of reminded him of. And I was like, oh, right on, dude.
Yeah.
But I'd say for the process, it makes it better because you can use, you know, a wider range of melodies. But at the same time, that was me kind of figuring out how I wanted to be a vocalist, you know, like just finding where I stood with like how to approach, you know, being the front man in this situation.
Yeah.
You know, sorry, when we started, like, we just knew that Eddie wanted to play guitar, I wanted to play bass, and we wanted to do an awesome band, but we had no idea how we were going to accomplish all the other stuff.
Oh.
And it just really came together a certain way by chance, where Eddie and I just had a lot of the bases covered. You know, we were like, wow, we can do album covers and stuff too. Like, sick, let's just do it all.
That's awesome.
And it worked out really cool.
So you hadn't, you did you sing in previously? Like, were you singing in other bands? Really?
Not at all.
Wow.
Yeah. But that's we just, thank you, actually. But we were really experimenting with certain aspects of putting this album together and just knew we had these songs written that we were, like, really pumped on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, like, for your first attempt at me more or less being a lead vocalist, did it take a long time to record and to get it down to be where you wanted it?
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of takes, and I wasn't used to emitting that much sound for long periods of time, so it was an interesting process.
To put it into perspective, we spent about a year recording the whole record.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Yeah, I really want to thank Zach Oren and Adam Sullivan, who were our engineers during the recording, for, you know, being able to help bring it to life.
Wow.
Especially with the vocals, you know, like that was interesting. But they really were able to get the sound we wanted for the album, production wise, you know.
Yeah, so you guys are happy with the album? Like, that was the album you wanted to do?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's good.
I'm pretty happy with it. I love the way it sounds, you know, and again, you know, I'm really glad that those engineers were able to help us out and really kept, we were kind of really particular about how we wanted it to sound all 80s and big arena kind of sound, and they were able to capture that for us, so, you know.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, good for you, man. Like, good for, I mean, I had no idea. That just blows me away that you had not tackled vocals before. And for it to sound the way it does and just all this, like, I think on one of the songs, and I think I mentioned it, I also hear like an Axl Rose thing going. And I mean, that's Axl friggin' Rose, you know? So that's really impressive.
Dude, thanks.
You're very welcome. Now, Eddie, what I noticed on the tracks is the in-your-face guitar sound. It's a killer vibe. Kind of tell me about your rig setup and how you kind of approach recording guitars in the studio. I'm assuming that you multi-tracked a lot of the rhythms and probably your solos and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely multi-tracking and all that. But, yeah, my rig is pretty simple. I don't use any effects pedals or anything like that. I just straight up go through a Marshall JMP preamp.
Yep.
And then it goes with Marshall Valstate preamp. It's pretty simple, and it gets a pretty killer tone, so that's all.
Yeah.
That's all I really need. You know, they just mic'd up the amp, and that was it.
Oh, wow. I mean, the JMP is amazing. I used it for years. It's unfortunately in my closet now because I've moved on to something else. I'm using the Ritchie Kotzen Fly Rig now. I don't know if you're familiar with that, and it's pretty killer. It's got, I mean, there's a lot of play with it, and I switched heads too. I had a Marshall, and now I'm using a Hughes and Kettner, and yeah, which is, I mean, but it's a funny head because it's kind of like a almost like a Kemper type of head, you know, where you get all these sounds in it. But I haven't played with them. I just plug in what small amount of pedals I have with the fly rig, and then I just go. So that's why I was
cool.
That's why I was curious about your rig, because I really liked the guitar sound.
Yeah. I mean, you should bust out the JMP every now and then. You'll be able to figure out the sound.
I'm going to. I was having some issues with it, to be honest. When did I buy it? In the late 90s. So I've had it a long time, and I did a lot of gigs on the road with it. So. I think it needs some work. I've popped the tubes out of it before and replaced them, and then I put those old, the tubes weren't screwed, I just tried to mess with it a little bit and try different tubes in it, and then popped the old ones back in and found that those old Marshall tubes that were in it were better.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, so it was cool. Now, I love the track Snakebite. Love those lower register background vocals too. Reminds me of a little bit of Alice Cooper. What can you guys say about that track?
I really love the guitar solos in that track, is what I want to say.
Right on.
That's probably my favorite track. I love Lizzie's vocals on Anime. I think he has a pretty versatile type of, you know, vocal sound that he brings out in that song.
Yeah.
Really showcases that pretty well, you know.
Yeah, it sounds really cool. And those the backgrounds on that too. Is that you as well, Lizzie, doing those backgrounds, like those lower backgrounds on that, or is that you?
I do like all the lead vocals, and then during the chorus Snakebite, I think all the rest is Eddie.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, and that song, I mean, I think it was me doing the backings for the most part, but in a lot of the other songs, like Make the Volume Loud, that was Lizzie and all that, so.
Yeah, it's very cool. It's a nice mix on Snakebite, nice mix of the vocals, listening to it. It really stands out with that different, with your voice on there in that chorus. Sounds really cool.
That one was fun to record. That one was pretty fun to record. It was fun watching you. I'd never heard Eddie do the solo for Snakebite before he recorded it. So it just kind of was pretty mind-blowing.
Really? Did you work it out, Eddie, beforehand?
Yeah, and actually the intro solo, originally we weren't going to throw that in. The very last day of recording, that's when I kind of whipped it out the night before I came up with it. And then that day I recorded in the studio and we threw in the intro solo. And I really liked the intro for that too, so I'm glad we ended up doing that.
That's cool. It's a very cool song. And is there a premise behind that vocal?
Premise behind
the lyric. I mean, yeah, the lyrics.
Oh, let's see. That song was just depicting really vague badass imagery, I guess, more than anything.
Okay, cool. I mean, that's the best explanation. Jeez, I can't even talk tonight. So on a track like SEX or Sex Life,
there you go.
I mean, what was the premise of the lyric? And yeah, okay, that was a trick question. I guess it's kind of more a guitar track. There is, you know, you say sex life in it. Was that chosen for the title and put into the song because of how it sounded? Was it, you guys kind of got a vibe of how it sounded and you're like, you know what, we should call it this. And that kind of reminds me of this.
Partially, I would say that the phrase, the delivery, it all just hits you a certain way that matches the impact of the song. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. That's where it's at. Like, I thought about adding more lyrics, but I was like, no, stripped down. Like, this has a whole vibe going on.
That's good. That one surprised me. I wasn't expecting. I saw the title. I was like, oh, Sex Life. I was like, I wasn't expecting, like, pretty much an instrumental. And I was like, this is. And it's kind of in the closer to the beginning or the middle. And you don't usually expect an instrumental track in that position. So I thought that was really cool. That was a good way of doing it. It kind of catches people off guard.
Right? Yeah, because totally. I never really noticed that it's an instrumental for the most part. But yeah, you're right. There's pretty minimal vocals. And yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty cool to have a very instrumental song in the record.
Yeah, no, I think that's cool. I think it was really cool. Now, Make the Volume Loud. Again, Lizzie, you sound a little bit different, and it's kind of, again, a wow factor. That one kind of reminds me of circa, like, 1986. For me, the whole era has different stages of the way bands sounded. I don't know if you guys know that. Like, kind of the late 90s is more of a poppier, you know, AOR type of sound, where, like, like from 83 or 82 into about 86, there was like a different type of metal sound, right? It was more
raw,
more, I'd say, more guys metal, right? It was like the band started to kind of try to chicks, right? So that's kind of what I mean by that's what it kind of reminds me of. It's kind of like that more, I guess you'd call guys metal type of thing or whatever. Is there anything about that song that kind of comes to mind? I think the lyric, the chorus, is kind of self-explanatory. I mean, make the volume loud.
Sure.
Guys recall much of that one in the recording process of that?
I sequenced all the synth parts and then just pressed record and play and did that like super mechanically so that it would just totally overlap over the studio recording well. And that song's actually kind of an inspiration for the direction I think we're heading in the future, where it just has that really driving force about it, and just like strong pop writing, basically. Cool. You know, but recording that song, I don't have any memories of it.
Well, I mean, like you said, it was over a year's time, right? You guys were doing it over a year, so I totally get that. I mean, so when was the time period of when the album was recorded?
So we started in, I think, about March or February of 2019, and we didn't finish up until maybe a few weeks before the album was released, actually.
Cool.
But yeah, it was pretty much almost an entire year that we spent working on that.
So, I mean,
and we just really wanted to make sure that we got the sound we wanted before we put it out.
Right. So some of it's during COVID, I guess.
Yeah,
it came out like right before, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. How for you guys, how's it been during this whole COVID thing? You guys release an album and then this happens.
That was rough because, you know, as soon as we released it, within a few weeks, you know, everything shut down and people didn't have money and we weren't able to, you know, plan any shows or anything like that. So it kind of slowed down our momentum. But, you know, we made it work. We put the album out and people dug it and we were able to work through it.
Yeah, I mean, speaking to most artists, it's kind of the same thing. You got to make it work. We have to deal with it because it, you know, unfortunately, it's still here. It's going to go away, but who knows when, right?
Right. The vaccine's around the corner, you know, and yeah, this is the first time I've seen Eddie without a mask in like forever.
Really? I don't wear them anymore.
Crazy.
Yeah. Do you guys still have to wear them in California?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like gnarly here.
I hear it was insane there. There's a lot of cases.
Yeah.
Pardon me.
It's ridiculous.
It was pretty bad out here. I mean.
Yeah. Is it slowing down now? It's gotten better.
I believe so. Now that people are getting the vaccines, it's slowing down. But you know, I think it's worse here than almost anywhere else in the country, I think.
Yeah, well, at least you guys are getting the vaccines. We are, I heard a stat that in Canada we're 42nd in countries getting the vaccine. Which is insane. For a country that is a free country and we seem to have our shit together, when it comes to the vaccine, we don't have our shit together.
That is surprising.
It is. It's very surprising. Yeah. And I mean, we have conversations every day. You talk to friends, you talk to family, you know, you're like, well, did you get the vaccine yet? No, we can't. We're not getting it yet. It's like, and then it could be they're trying to say that September everybody will be vaccinated. Now, I mean, your population is like huge compared to ours. We're like 36, 37 million people. You guys are like 335 million or something like that. So, but still, in the wide spectrum of getting the vaccine, we're not doing very good with it.
That's
funny,
man.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, and I mean, I can't go to a show. I can't cross the border. I won't be crossing the border anytime soon, which really sucks. Like talking about M3, but it got rescheduled, or it's going to be rescheduled. So if I wanted to go to that, if it was still a go, there's no possible way I would have been going.
Mm-hmm.
So
are you in BC?
Toronto.
Toronto, I was sick,
yeah.
Dude, we should do a Canada tour.
Oh, someday. That would be awesome. You guys,
I love Canada.
Yeah, have you been up here before?
Rules. Yeah, I've been to Montreal and Vancouver. Right. I've been to Vancouver a few times, and it was awesome.
Yeah, Vancouver. I've never been out there, but I hear it's a lot of fun, and Montreal is apparently a riot, too, so.
Yeah.
Toronto's good, though. Toronto's a big city, a lot of fun, and a lot of stuff to do. Lot of different backgrounds of people and different types of food and different. I mean, I think San Francisco's kind of that way too, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, I've always wanted to check out Toronto. You know, it sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That's where David Cronenberg's from, right?
That's right.
The horror director.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I seem to recall, did he do that movie Drive?
And I don't think so.
No, there was one.
He did like.
There was one I thought that he did. I can't remember for sure, but they were actually driving in Toronto on our freeway.
You mean Crash?
Crash.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I think it was Crash, and they were. And dude, I remember watching brutal. It. That was a crazy movie, man.
Oh my God, so brutal.
Yeah, that was.
I love it, but it's intense.
It is, oh yeah, because you were just like, wow, what's gonna happen next?
Yeah. Oh my god.
Yeah, I got my crash and drive mixed up, so sorry about that.
That's okay.
Now, I don't go to school. And this one, that one vocally remind me of Zinni J. Zan on the first Shotgun Messiah album.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, I kind of had that don't care about nothing type of vibe on it. And I'm a huge Harry Cody fan, guitar player as well. And
that song was a big influence on I Don't Go to School, actually. Just the whole attitude of the character. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That song in particular was like a big inspiration right there.
Oh, that's cool. So you guys,
the cool thing about that song is it's actually the only song on the record that Lizzie wrote all by himself. So that's pretty cool.
Oh
word, yeah. And it doesn't have a guitar solo, I don't think, right? That's like the only one.
That just goes to show.
Wow, that's cool. Yeah. Yeah. So and it was inspired by Shotgun Messiah.
Totally.
That's so cool, man. That's so cool.
You called it.
I mean, Zinni was on the show about 2 months ago. I had him on.
Oh, sick, dude.
Yeah. Super awesome. Cool guy. Super cool guy. Really nice guy. Lots of good stories about Shotgun Messiah and the first album. And yeah, no, that's cool. So Ring the Bell is cool. It's kind of got Pretty Boy Floyd type backups, I will say. And we talked about Pretty Boy Floyd, but I'm a huge fan of Leather Boys with Electric Toys and love the background vocals on that. Such a classic. As I listen to that one, the guitar sounds very tight. It's really, really punchy. Do you guys usually come up with riffs and then write lyrics? Or, I mean, you guys probably collaborate a lot. So maybe you take from it, it happens organically in different ways.
Well, it's funny. Yeah, we actually wrote most of the material for that album in like the first couple times that we ever jammed and that we ever met, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it started out with us just kind of jamming around, messing around, throwing riffs out there. And then it went from there.
Okay. And now US Mania is very cool. That's it. It's got kind of like an 80s sleaze rock vibe to it. And that's the track where I felt the vocal styling was kind of like Axl Rose meets Tame Me Down. Now, lyrically, it sounds like this is about Lacey Violet taking over the USA. What's your take on that one, guys?
With that song, I was really inspired by like pop art, like Andy Warhol and stuff, where he's just using like imagery and not really commenting much on it from any real social perspective, or just, it's just like putting things out there. And that song was one of the first recordings that I really liked because I was just screaming the whole time and I didn't sing at all.
That's cool. So my perception of what it was about is totally off, but no,
like Norman Rockwell.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like that there's a little bit, but there's a meaning behind that. That's cool. And to mention Andy Warhol is kind of cool too. So, I mean, his whole vibe is totally,
I love it.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I remember like seeing, I can't remember what movie it was, but they had the character of, it was probably a biopic of some sort, and Andy Warhol being in this movie. But like,
oh yeah,
as him at a party or something like that.
And there's one where David Bowie plays Nick Warhol. Do you remember the Basquiat movie?
Really?
Yeah, David Bowie.
Yeah, I didn't know that. That's pretty cool. So guys, in terms of getting a hold of the album, you know, streaming sites, social media, even a website, kind of give me, my listeners, kind of how they can find anything to do with the band.
Well, our website's a pretty good place to look, LaceyViolet.com. You know, we have, you can buy our CD there, you can purchase a download, and we're also on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon, all that stuff. So, I mean, you can pretty much find us all over the place.
Cool. And did you guys, the album is totally done by you guys? You guys aren't on a main label or anything like that?
No, it was independently released by us.
I love to hear that. Well, good for you guys. That's awesome. Well, guys, I think that's all I have. I really appreciate you guys coming on the show and talking about the band, and that was awesome.
Well, we appreciate you bringing us on the show.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
No problem. You guys enjoy the rest of your night, and I'll let you know, Eddie, when I've got it posted, and And then if you guys feel like sharing it, by all means, please do.
Perfect. Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, man.
Okay. You guys have a great night. And hopefully we'll talk again. Cheers.
Cheers. Take care, man.
You too. Bye-bye.